What's good? What's good? I'm back. Yours truly, the one and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast, a.k.a. Triple P, a.k.a. the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. Today, I'm going to react to a video of Joe Rogan talking about why the ultra-rich still work. Cats like Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk. I'm not ultra-rich, but I work every single day of my life. As you can see, I podcast every single day of my life, and that's work as well. But before we get into that, let's give you a word from PromoPalace.biz.
Are you a musician looking for music marketing and promotion? Then look no further than PromoPalace LLC, your one-stop shop for all music promotion services. Services include Spotify playlist pitching, YouTube video promotion, record pool promotion, blog placements, radio airplay promotion, SoundCloud promotion, and much more. With over 2,000 customers and over 10 years of experience in online promotion, PromoPalace LLC is a company you can trust. For more info, please go to PromoPalace.biz. See you there.
That's right. You heard the beautiful lady. Need online marketing promotions, please check us out, PromoPalace.biz, one-stop shop. Actually need to get a new commercial made up with a new spokesperson. It's about time for something new. Before we get into that, though, let's get this. I think this is Neil deGrasse Tyson and Joe Rogan, if I'm not mistaken, talking about the ultra-rich and why they still work. Let's get into it.
Drops it off that afternoon and you use it and then it takes it back.
Mm.
You don't need a garage. You don't need a parking spot. You don't need anything. It's shared commodity.
It sounds like a good deal for Jeff Bezos. He's probably real excited. He's delivering you drills.
I think he's buying roof rights for drone landings.
Really?
Yeah. Roof rights.
Of course he is.
Yeah. That's what I heard. It's a rumor.
When you see a guy that's that wealthy, do you ever ponder what makes a person like that continue to work every day?
That is the actual fact of it, right? People like that, it's a different species, right? It's someone who has an idea and they want to execute the idea. So, and he was at it when no one thought it was fashionable. Amazon used to be just a bookstore.
Yeah, I remember how dumb it was. I was mocking it. Like, who the fuck's going to buy books on the internet?
But you can't even browse it. You can't. That was the dumbest smell idea it. Ever. You can't. Right? So is he driven? Is he saying, no, I want to be a 100 billionaire? No, he's got an idea. He's got a business idea. He wants to gain wealth, of course, as any business person does. But the people who are actually driven are driven by forces that are not money.
Yeah.
As Elon famously said, you know, how do you make a small fortune in rockets? Start with a large fortune.
But it's just these people that are doing this insane innovation, like him, like trying to deliver things with drones and trying to spread the business further and further and further. It's like, you always wonder, like, what is the motivation? Like, what keeps you doing this?
I can tell you this, you know, did I imagine 10 years ago that when I ordered something on the internet, I would be disappointed if it didn't come tomorrow?
Or today.
Or this afternoon.
Amazon has their own trucks now.
Right.
They can deliver it to you today.
Right, right. Gone are the days. Oh, it'll get there in 2 weeks and 3 weeks. Right. What's wrong with you?
No, tomorrow.
Tomorrow. I need this
tomorrow.
Now.
Yeah.
And
tomorrow.
Even if I don't need it, I want it now.
Yeah,
right?
If I see it, like the toothpaste going to come on Friday, I'm like, today's Tuesday. Why the fuck do I have to wait till Friday for toothpaste? Come, let's go. Let's go.
So Jeff Bezos did that to you.
I know. It's
You've been
amazing.
Brainwashed by the man.
It's amazing. You know? But people like that do push innovation in that.
That's
in
why
this
I don't
desire.
Get in there.
Yeah.
I'd let him go.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm just joking around about him motivating his motivation. Mm-hmm. I mean, I saw his new yacht. I think that's where the motivation is.
Mm-hmm.
Those are expensive.
Yes.
You need 150 billion bucks if you want to have a couple of those.
Yeah. Yachts are a whole other thing.
But he's got like a city. It's like a city that mm-hmm. floats around.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen it?
No, but I've been on other yachts of highly wealthy people.
Is it preposterous? I've never been.
I don't judge it, but I do.
I'll judge for you.
I was on a yacht.
Describe it to me. I'll tell you why it's stupid.
I was on Charles Simonyi's yacht. He's one of the Microsoft billionaires. And there's a staff there. And I like talking to people, talking to the staff. And I said, So, you know, there are people cleaning and, you know, and there's a sailor type or whatever that role is in the thing there. And I say, oh, so where do you live? And he says, here. I said, oh, in New York, because it was in port in New York. No, here, on the yacht. And I said, oh, well, when you're not on the yacht, weird. Oh, I'm from Italy, but I live on the yacht. I said, how do you get your mail? And said, well, I get back to Italy, I'll pick it up there, but I live on. And so the idea that you are so wealthy, you can buy people and put them in this floating place, and they call that their home. I had to wrap my head around that. I couldn't. That was just
heavy.
That was just a little weird to me.
But it makes sense if you have like some 500-foot-long boat.
It's a permanent staff.
You have to have.
Let me pump in the brakes. It's not so weird when you probably see their paychecks. They're probably getting paid like a ridiculous amount of money to stay on that boat for however long before they can go back to the crib in Italy, like they said. Like, people that take those jobs, they're probably making a real good salary just for cooking food or just for being a maid or a butler or whatever. Just keep it moving.
People there all the time, because things are probably always breaking.
Yep. And I went into the pantry, and you can see the multiple refrigerators and the wine cellar. And
it's like a giant restaurant service, slash apartment building.
Correct. And he's got a chopper on the top.
Let me see what Jeff Bezos looks like.
Someone I saw has its own yacht. The yacht has a yacht.
The yacht has a yacht.
Well, this guy, the billionaire, what was his name?
The yacht has a yacht.
Charles Simone.
Go to that.
Yeah, actually, it is Bezos' yacht.
Let's see it.
Bezos' yacht has a
separate yacht.
So it says even
look at that fella.
Why does every picture come up with his bald head right
looking
there?
Looking so happy.
All right, so you got the
417-foot super yacht that's so massive it has its own support yacht.
That doesn't include the cost.
A helipad, according to the estimated cost, not including the boat's support boat, is $500 million. That is wild.
Yeah, that's lunch money.
Yeah,
that's 1/300th of his wealth.
He made $75 billion in 2020 alone.
During COVID.
Yeah.
There you go.
I have to Google insane. Project 721.
Because he kept delivering while everyone else says we can't deliver.
Yeah. So that's his boat. Let me see that thing. Woo! Good Lord.
Picture, but,
wow.
That's not it. That's it.
That's it?
This is it. That was something else called Project Valkyrie or something it said.
Oh, some other thing.
That yacht, that doesn't look all that impressive. I got a yacht that
Look at the size of that thing. I mean, it's basically...
You're going to have a great star party on the deck of that.
Oh, for sure, yeah, right? If you get out in the middle ocean? Of the ocean?
Oh, yeah.
That's the move, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. Right, when I get my first $100 billion, I'll invite you. You'll come.
Please, I'll go. I'll
do a few shows from there.
I'll do whatever you want. We'll do shows.
So I tried to quantify.
What is that, Jamie?
That's where they made it, I believe.
Oh, wow. They built it in a giant warehouse on the water.
And then you drop it in the water, I think.
Whoa.
Slide it in there.
Market. The market for $500 million yachts.
Who would have thought there even was such a market?
Yeah.
I just want to try to find my tweet. Can you dig up a tweet?
Sure.
Do you search tweets? Can you do it? Yeah, just tweet my handle and Bezos. And I quantified his wealth at $100 billion. And I want you to see this calculation that I did.
Well, what's crazy is that's what he made basically last year, right? And we said he made 70-something billion last year?
Mm-hmm.
A year.
That's what in 2007. There okay. Okay. Not that anybody asked, but laid end to end, Jeff Bezos's $200 billion can encircle Earth 180 times, then reach the moon and back 30 times, and with what's left over, make a stack 10 kilometers high.
Holy shit.
With what's left over.
That's all $1 bills.
Yeah, sorry, those are $1 bills. You know, that's what I pictured there, the $1 bill in the tweet. I just wanted to it was a reality check on how much money that is, when you can do amazing space things with it, and then you have leftover money.
What's interesting is he's not slowing down, right? And he seems relatively healthy.
Yeah.
Like, he's fit, works out a lot, he's gotten jacked.
Got jacked in a few of those photos. Yeah, that's fine.
So he's probably going to keep going for decades.
Maybe.
Hey, let me chime in, man. I'm not a rich cat, but I do work every day. I got Promo Palace LLC. I work every day. Even when there's not a ton of orders, there's always something to do. We got the new little apparel, you know, definitely trying to get that popping. Definitely got to work every day to try to figure out how to sell more t-shirts. Got the podcast. You know, it's not just about creating content and doing the podcast. It's all about, you know, finding places to advertise it and, you know, just figuring out how to market it better, make the podcast better, make the audio better. You know, there's always something to do. We got the Dizzle. You know, I don't own Dizzle, but I, you know, I like to say I'm head of social media marketing promotions at this point. You know, handle the Facebook, TikTok, and help them with the Instagram and the Pinterest and the LinkedIn and the website and creating the merchandise store on Etsy. You know, yeah, and every day it's, you know, even when I'm, because Dizzle doesn't make no money at this point. We're like in going into year two with Dizzle as a bottled product. You're not making a profit yet. We're in four states, California, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Arkansas. But every day it's a grind. Every day it's a grind, even when you're not making a profit. You know, and that's the thing, like the average worker will never get, you know, they just clock in, clock out, and they're not trying to make money afterwards. They're not working afterwards, you know, and if you try to get them to work, it's like it's too much for them to do the work if they're not getting paid for it. And that's the thing, you know, I promote music for a living in the music business at first. You know, you got all these people that think they just make a song last week and they're supposed to make a profit next week. No, that's not how it works unless you have a certain amount of fans, certain amount of consumers for your music. And if you don't got that, you're going to have to put in work where you don't get paid. You don't make a profit, you know? So I think everybody should have the Jeff Bezos mindset, the Elon mindset, you know, even when you haven't made it yet. And these cats have made it. Like, these cats could just be sitting back and letting other people do all the work for them, and they refuse to. I worked, the first job I ever worked was for a cat named Charlie Harnish. Rest in peace. Greatest man I ever worked for. Owned seven McDonald's at the time. Got a loan from the bank to buy the McDonald's. When I was working there, we were working to pay off the loan in the bank. This cat would work in the stores when they were shorthanded, and he would work 10 times harder than employees. And his ways of saving money and running his business were, they were hilarious. Like, you know, if we're at McDonald's, you have, you come in the front line. If he was working the register and you just say, hey, give me a second, he would suggest for you. If you'd be like a heavy set male and you'd be like, can you give me a second? He'd be like, sir, you look like you want a double quarter pounder combo with a supersized fry and a large diet, and he would start ringing it up, even if that's what you didn't want. Because Charlie's philosophy is he didn't have time for you to wait. He didn't have time for you to wait. You were messing with his money. You were messing with his money. This dude would make fries. He would squeeze the box together, put these little bit of fries in there, and squeeze them out, and you would literally know that if you took them out to a customer that they were going to ask for more fries. So you would wait for him to walk off, put more fries in there. But you knew what he was doing. It was his business. There's no specific, you know, amount of fries you get. It's a small fry, medium fry, large fry. I don't know if it's broke down in ounces or anything of that nature at McDonald's. But he would squeeze the box together, put a little bit of fries in there. It would, you open the box, would open back up, it'd just be a little bit of fries in that little box. And I know customers will complain all the time because they always want them things filled. You know what I'm saying? And anybody I know that makes fries, they fill them. You know, they don't overfill them. They just fill them. You know what I'm saying? And Charlie wasn't like that because it was Charlie's business and Charlie was about making a buck. Charlie was about saving money, making a profit, and you know, any way you was getting in the way of that, he wasn't with it. You know what I'm saying? And the hardest working owner I've ever seen in any fast food restaurant. That's for sure. I mean, I remember having to work at Charlie at his busiest McDonald's when we were shorthanded, and him and his brothers in there working, who now owns McDonald's. And it was just, you couldn't help but respect and look up to a cat that could just be sitting at home enjoying all his money, but he refused to. He was still working every day, especially if they were shorthanded. Once again, thank you for tuning in, Paul Pickett Podcast, and I'm out.